Media app.
CBS News Brief. A heads up after people jammed in at the airports over the past few days. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is at Phoenix Sky Harbor.
When we look at air travel, it is usually a good barometer for what the summer may hold. Thursday and Friday were two of the five busiest days at airport checkpoints ever. Nearly 6 million people screened just those 2 days alone.
Police in Philadelphia are looking for a motive and suspects in a deadly shooting at Fairmount Park last night. Commissioner Kevin Bethel.
As a result of that gunfire, we have 11 shooting victims. Of those 11, eight of them are adults. Two of those individuals, a male and a female, have been pronounced.
In the UK, German YouTuber Tom Kopke won the Gloucestershire cheese roll for the second year in a row. Byron Smith, victorious in the third race down one of England's steepest hills.
Oh, it feels great. I did this last year and I came second.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Average gas prices in Wisconsin rose slightly over the last week, landing at an average of $3.02 today. This is 4.4 cents higher than a month ago and over 38 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Gas prices across the state range from $2.59 to $3.49 per gallon, a difference of 90 cents. Prices didn't fall as far as anticipated for Memorial Day, but officials at GasBuddy say it was still one of the most affordable since 2021. They expect to see a relatively stable stretch for gas prices as we head into summer. Refinery maintenance is wrapping up, but several factors could still affect prices, such as the growing uncertainty around the upcoming hurricane season. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.84 to $3.01 per gallon. It took 10 days, but many Cellcom customers are finally seeing a return of voice and text services following what the company is calling a cyber incident. Lisa Hale reports.
The outage started Wednesday, May 14th. On Sunday, Cellcom announced that customers are starting to see a return to service, although that restoration would not be all at once, and some disruptions could still occur.
We're getting closer to the beginning of the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market. The market will open for its seventh season, coordinating with the Wood County Health Department, on June 12th. The outdoor market is located on First Avenue from West Grand to Goggin Street, open every Thursday and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Shoppers will find a variety of locally grown produce, handmade goods, food vendors, and crafters. The market token program allows customers to use food share, credit, and debit cards at participating vendors. The Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market will run from June 12th through October 11th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Boston Red Sox in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, game two of the Brewers and Red Sox. The Crew winning yesterday 3-2. Trevor McGill with the save. And lefty D.L. Hall awarded the win after coming off the 60-day IL plagued with injuries. I asked Hall how it felt first game back in front of a sold-out stadium in front of over 40,000 fans.
Oh, great. I mean, I was excited, you know, just to be back out there. Executed the pitches when I need to. Other than the leadoff walk, I thought it was pretty good.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love on hand to throw out the first pitch. Spent about a half hour in the Brewers clubhouse before the game.
It was awesome. Being down in the clubhouse, talking to all the guys, you know, how they get ready for a game. It's definitely a lot different than football environment, but these guys are playing games every day. So it's definitely a whole different world coming out here and seeing the behind-the-scenes action. So I'm very grateful that they were able to welcome me in there and just talk and hang out for a little bit. They all seem like really good guys.
That's Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy today with a shower or two possible this afternoon. We'll get to around 67 for a high today with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Scattered showers tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 50. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, showers 64 by Thursday. A little more sunshine with a high of 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 53.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 Mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. How was your Memorial Day weekend? Hope it was a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed the beautiful weather. It's 8:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, May 27th. Feels like a Monday, actually a Tuesday. Parker is on the board. Greg will be back in 1 hour. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Chad Holmes, not far away, to tell us what he's covering at 98.9 WXCO. And then at the bottom of the hour, Melissa Baldoff will be here. Normally she's on Wednesdays, Dan Schaefer on Tuesdays. They are switching spots for this week. So we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff about climate, environment, and politics, all coming up in just a little bit. But as mentioned, Brittany's here with an update on forecast, where the radar makes it look like there's widespread isolated showers throughout Wisconsin. But I was wondering if how much of that is actually hitting the ground, and how much of it, you know how that is sometimes, it just hits the radar, and we've gone entire days sometimes where we're under a big green blob and it's like not a drop has fallen. And I sense that might be the case in some places today.
Yeah, that is the case right now. A lot of it's not making it to the ground across the state, but into areas like La Crosse and just south of La Crosse, you are seeing that light rain ongoing this morning. And of course, this is going to start to slowly spread throughout the rest of the state. So a little bit of sprinkles, some light drizzle, light rain is expected, and those clouds, we're going to be stuck with them all day. Slightly breezy this afternoon, but temperatures are pretty mild in the mid-40s towards Superior and Ashland to about 60 degrees into the Fox Valley and towards Milwaukee area right now. There is some sunshine out there, but that will become all overcast and cloudy throughout the afternoon. Some spotty showers and maybe a brief rumble of thunder is possible far northwest later this afternoon and evening, but we're not looking at anything strong or severe. It would just be a nice little rumble of thunder there. Highs today will scrape the upper 60s to low 70s. That'll be a repeat tomorrow. So do the rain chances. Still spotty sprinkles. Some scattered showers expected tomorrow. Probably total rainfall from this event would be around a quarter of an inch in some places. So nothing too wild. And then by Thursday, sunshine returns. And so does the warmth. We close it out this entire week bright and beautiful.
80s.
Yes, 80s.
Mid-80s.
80s by Friday. Yeah, and into next week, too. So summer weather is right around the corner after these two drearier type of days.
Okay. We were talking earlier about some of the zoos around Wisconsin and places to see critters. And Tony mentioned just across the border in Duluth, there's bears at the zoo there. Yeah. And do you have a favorite place where you like to go in the zoo category?
I used to go to, was it the Wildwood Zoo over in the Green Bay area all the time, where they have the wolves out. And if the tornado sirens are going off and the wolves, they'll start howling with it. It's pretty cool stuff.
Only you could come up with, hey, go watch the wolves while the tornado sirens are going off. That's cool. Yeah.
That sounds like Armageddon to me.
It really does, doesn't it? Yep. And but no, it'd be Brittany going, look at the power of the sirens and the storm and the wolves.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great
You're
day.
Welcome.
We'll see you later. Let's see. In the comment section from Ardith, I vote to have Laura Ann Bird have her own show on Civic Media. I hope Luke Mathers is watching. So there you go, Luke. You are on notice that Laura would be a great addition. Well, let's put the training wheels on first. You know, let's have her guest host a time or two, and who knows, we could get all kinds of folks. We mentioned Dr. Lyerly earlier. Well, I think we mentioned her. Here it is, in Robin Tigerton saying wishing she would run for governor, because we were talking earlier about potential governor candidates in the future here, and now she's got her own show on Saturdays on stations in Green Bay and Oshkosh, and of course you can get it through the Civic Media app or out on the Civic Media website as well. All right, while we wait to hopefully visit with Chad Holmes today at 8:10, I wanted to pass along an article about Medicaid, and we've been talking a lot about Medicaid cuts, and then there's people like Derek Van Orden and others on the Republican side who say, there are not going to be any benefit cuts. We're just going to get rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse. And we're going to have these work requirements, because we always hear how, you know, able-bodied adults should be working. And the fact of the matter is a vast number of people on Medicaid are already working, but they're working for very low wages, or they're working for employers who do not offer health insurance. And Medicaid is how they keep from, you know, going bankrupt because of health issues. That's part of the good that it does. But under the guise of cutting so-called waste, fraud, and abuse, and, you know, making sure only able-bodied workers are there, come these requirements, these work requirements, and these reporting requirements. In other words, red tape. You know, the party that always tells you they want to deregulate and that they're against red tape and they're against government bureaucracy definitely finds a way to use government bureaucracy and red tape when it's to their advantage, whether it's preventing people from registering to vote or preventing people from getting the Medicaid benefits they've earned because of, you know, the work that they're doing. So here was a story that came across the wire from The Current magazine. Last summer, as political debate swirled over the future of Georgia's experiment with Medicaid work requirements, the governor there, Brian Kemp, held a press conference to unveil a 3-minute testimonial video featuring a mechanic who works on classic cars. The story here is about Luke Seaborn. He's a 54-year-old who became the de facto face of Governor Kemp's insurance program for impoverished Georgians called Georgia Pathway to Coverage. And in his soft Southern drawl, Seaborn explained how having insurance has improved his life in the year that he has been enrolled. He said in the video, "Pathways is a great program that offers health insurance to low-income professionals like myself." And Kemp, you know, said Pathways is how they're going to decrease the state's high rate of uninsured adults while at the same time reining in government spending because of, you know, adding those Republican-led Medicaid work requirements. But you go talk to Luke Seaborn now, and he'll tell you how in the 9 months since that video was put out, his opinion of Pathways has plummeted. Because not once, but twice, his benefits, his health insurance, has been canceled due to bureaucratic red tape. Seaborn recently told The Current, "I used to think of Pathways as a blessing. Now I'm done with it." There have been no shortage of reports of how Seaborn is emblematic of the hundreds of thousands of people who would struggle to get enrolled or maintain their coverage. Because, again, you can put in these work requirements, which involve reporting requirements, which involve forms or online check-ins. And for Luke Seaborn, the car mechanic, he said that he was used to the routine at first. He would go onto this online system once a month. He would log in his work hours as required. But according to this report, his benefits were canceled the first time after he failed to complete a new form that he said the state had added without adequate warning. Seaborn said the form asked for the same information he'd been submitting every month, just in a different format. Now, at the time, because Seaborn had been in a video promoting this program, he knew of an insurance executive that was connected to him being in the video, somebody he could reach out to for help because he wasn't getting question or he wasn't getting his questions answered from the state's Medicaid agency. Well, sure enough, thanks to those connections, within 24 hours, the benefits had been restored. And he thought, well, maybe that would be it. Because, again, he was playing by the rules. He was proving that he had met the requirements for every month having 80 hours of work or studying or volunteering. But even so, in March, he logged into the digital platform to make sure everything was good, even though the reporting requirements didn't require him to be there. He'd already been meeting the hour threshold. And yet there online was a notice that his benefits were going to be terminated on April 1st because he had missed filing an annual income statement, which was news to him because his coverage was not up for renewal. And so that's where we bring Chad Holmes into the conversation from 98.9 WXCO and talking about, I'll leave it with Luke Seaborn saying, my head exploded. I didn't get a text or an email. I did what I was supposed to, but that wasn't good enough. And Chad, I mean, it is the Republican waste, fraud, and abuse version of the shell game. We're going to put in these work requirements, and then we're going to change the rules around so you can't meet the requirements, and then we can cut off your Medicaid. And it's cruel, and it has no purpose other than to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy. And it's just, honestly, it's just sick.
Yeah. You hit it all on the head. Number one, I apologize.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
I know. I was like, that's day after Memorial Day. We all go through it. So, did you have a good weekend?
I'm sitting at my desk, and I got a ball game this afternoon. So I'm printing out some stuff, and then all of a sudden, I just check my email, and then I see a message from you, and it's like paging me, and I think, oh, come sprinting in here, and it's like, what? Oh man, I would have normally noticed it, but this morning I get in and we're on 98.9 WXCO and we're on 1230 WXCO. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, 1230 is not on. And I have two monitors.
Ah.
And the monitor by my desk is on 1230. So there's nothing coming through it right now. And normally I'm listening to you and I'm, you know, the segments, between, in the morning. So it's like everything. It's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday, and I don't have my monitor. So all of a sudden, I look at the clock, and it's like 13, 14 after. And I say, oh, boy, I left Pat hanging. So
it's a perfect storm. But I teed it up for you quite nicely because I know this is right in your wheelhouse, too, of hearing all about waste, fraud, and abuse.
Yeah.
When, again, the people who are against bureaucratic red tape sure know how to put it in place if it's keeping folks from their benefits or keeping right. folks from registering to vote and things like that.
No, and that's exactly right. I mean, it's just I don't know if shell game is the proper way of putting it, but there certainly is not there's a lack of principle. I can almost understand when you have disagreements based on principle. I think that, again, part of the whole idea of what we're trying to accomplish within our system, it is not a pretty system, not to say the least. But at least if you have some sort of intellectual honesty when it comes to what you're trying to get through. But boy, when you just change the rules every time that it depends on, what we're talking about here, you switch it off. Oh, in this case, you need to have, all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. But here, you don't have to do it because it's the principle of the matter that gets through. That's the frustrating aspect. And I feel like we're going through so much where it's whack-a-mole in terms of, instead of just having, hey, if they truly believe that none of these earned benefits should be part of our system, then say it. Doggone it. Just come out and say it. We don't believe in Social Security. We don't believe in Medicare. We don't believe in Medicaid. We don't believe, because if you look at history, going back to the New Deal and even going back to the progressive era of the early 20th century, it's always been the conservatives that said, we can't do this. We can't afford this. We can't, it's the wrong thing to do. But nowadays, they're trying to pretend, we're not cutting anything. We're just taking away the fraud and the abuse of it. It's intellectually dishonest.
It is. And that's the whole point. So when Derek Van Orden again says, nobody's getting their benefits cut, He's kind of got his fingers crossed behind his back because this is how they make those cuts. Chad Holmes,
it's all lies.
Follows it all at 98.9 WXCO. Thank you, Chad.
I promise I'll be on time Thursday.
No worries. All right. I will talk to you later. Still ahead on the program today, we'll be talking to Melissa Baldoff from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
At Tri-City Services, we're so proud to be celebrating 80 years of trusted service to Central Wisconsin. Since 1945, Tri-City has been the name you can trust to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We're offering a limited-time anniversary special. When you purchase a new air conditioner, you'll get $19.45 off a new furnace. Call 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com to schedule your free quote.
We're not comfortable until you are.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, all. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. We have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. Welcoming into the studio our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools area. We have joining us right now, Nicole Kaltow, principal of Grant Elementary School. Nicole, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I get the last name right?
Yes,
I did.
Yes,
all right.
Did.
Well, you helped. Thank you very much for that. And we also have joining us Jennifer Wilhorn, Assistant Director of Curriculum. Jennifer, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Always appreciate the time. I do notice that Ron is playing hooky. I'm kidding. Yeah, you send a shout out to Ron and appreciate the time from him as always. We'll be talking with him very soon, I'm sure. I wanted to get right into things with you, Jennifer, if you don't mind, and some of the graduations that are going on and some of the details on that.
Sure. It's an exciting time as we get to the end of the school year, just because there's so many different celebrations, both with our 4K, our elementary classrooms, and then, of course, our high school graduations. So next Friday, River Cities High School will be celebrating their graduation ceremony at 6 p.m. at the PAC here in Wisconsin Rapids. And then on Sunday, June 1st, the Lincoln High School graduation ceremony will be at Woodtrust Bank Field at Southwood Coney Stadium at 1 p.m. So certainly our congratulations go out to all of our graduates.
Mm-hmm. There's something so wonderful to hear about that and just any kind of graduating. And it's wonderful, especially when it comes to something like this. And we all kind of think about what's next for them and some of those things. It's great to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that they have some exciting futures ahead of them. So many of our graduates are going on to the workforce, technical colleges, and four-year universities. So we wish them the best with their future mm-hmm. endeavors.
Mm-hmm. And where do you want to go next with that, then?
We'd also like to take this opportunity at the end of the year to thank the community for welcoming mm-hmm. so many of our students into their places of businesses for field trips, providing additional information and opportunities for them to learn outside of the classroom. We know that, of course, we learn a ton in the classroom, but so many of those learning opportunities in our community are what really makes an impact with our students. So we're so thankful for those opportunities.
And we have such a really strong, wonderful community when it comes to all the activities and different events that go on through the year, too, that they attend and they're a part of, along with graduation. So I really do thank this community. We're very fortunate to have the people that we do around here.
Absolutely. We're reminded over and over how our community values our students, our families, and places a priority on their education, and we're so thankful for that.
Were there other graduation dates you wanted to touch on, Jennifer?
No, I don't think so. But we also wanted to highlight a special event that took place this past week where our Lincoln High School graduates were able to return back to their elementary schools and walk the halls, visit with previous teachers, share some memories, share with their former teachers some of their plans for the future. So if you have a chance, I know a lot of those schools put those pictures out on Facebook, mm-hmm. and it was very heartwarming to see those pictures of the graduates with their former teachers and classmates. So certainly a special event that we host in the community, and I know it's one that's very meaningful, not only to those students, but also really to those teachers.
I don't mean to get into a negative area here or anything like that. I hope you all know how much I appreciate what you do and everything. Where was this when I was graduating from Lincoln? It's such a cool idea. It's such a fun idea. I was fortunate. I moved around so much, but being in this area for a while, I went to Washington School and went on to East and then Lincoln, and I enjoyed my time at all those schools. I love the idea of being able to go back and do that, certainly for the fun, the nostalgia, and so many of those things, and whatever kind of, for lack of a better word, inspiration or what you can be as an older student to younger students, that wonderful kind of thing that we all get to experience and everything. But I also feel like it's a great setup for what's next. And looking at, they're going to be spending so much of the next 5, 10, 20 years, maybe even, looking ahead. It's a nice chance to be able to look back and really take for them to take a personal, hopefully, like pat on the back and feel good of like, wow, 12 years I've been doing this since grade school. I've been in this in education, and this is what it comes down to and all this. And look what I've accomplished. It's a confidence builder. In its own way, organically in many ways. And I love that a part of it as much as I do just the nostalgia, the fun of it, and so many of other things. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's fun from the elementary perspective as the principal and being able to think through how we can highlight these seniors and make their time with us fun and allow them to get together with their classmates that they went through their elementary years with and how they can take the time to talk about their experiences. And in our case, specifically Grant, it was so much fun to have them just waiting in the office, and they were talking about all the changes that they could see within the school building right from the time that they entered it. But then, being able to walk through the halls and have the little kindergartners looking at them and saying, they're so tall. That's what they kept saying the entire time. It was so fun to see that. But then we also had different activities for them to do. They got to meet with their old art teacher, Mr. Anderson, and he had some plans for them. They 3D printed some keychains for them, and they painted them, and it was just a great time for them to leave their lasting mark on Grant and one last thought as a graduating class. And so all of the elementary schools now do that, and we plan it out so it is offered to everyone at Lincoln. And we were fortunate enough at Grant to have other students from other schools who have moved away, and they've reached out as well. Can we come back to Grant event too. And so the word is spreading, and it is just a joyous occasion for everyone.
I appreciate all the focus being on the kids and parents and even you know, young and old and all that. I hope that while these things are going on, you and you two individually, all your staff, your crew, the fellow people that you work with are also able to take a moment of pride, a moment of smiles and enjoying this and everything. I don't think that there's enough wins for people in education when it comes to this stuff. And this is a great accomplishment for everybody involved. And I hope you guys can feel some of that, too. If not, I will remind you any chance you want. Just reach out to me. I'll remind you every time.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Wisconsin politician is proposing the state reduce its number of elections. Civic Media's Jimmy Kuska explains.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden is calling for the state to get rid of spring elections. Van Orden said on Wisconsin Eye that spring elections, which are held for officially nonpartisan races, should be done each fall instead. Van Orden cited voter fatigue, financial efficiency, and never-ending political campaigns to support his idea. The state's constitution requires spring elections for nonpartisan offices, specifically mentioning judicial elections, which are to be held outside of partisan elections.
Van Orden said Republicans don't vote as often in spring elections. Two garbage trucks in Madison have a new look, and as Savannah Tome Olson explains, it's all thanks to a toddler.
4-year-old Fred sent a letter to the mayor's office asking for a different color trash truck to collect garbage in his neighborhood. He even said, quote, "I would prefer a purple trash truck or a rainbow-colored trash truck. I love the blue one, but a new color would be exciting, too." Well, the mayor's office got with the streets division, and they decided to try something. They had local artists create pieces for the sides of the collection trucks. Officials unveiled the two works that are now on the trucks. One is of the Madison skyline. The other is of a turkey exploring a Madison neighborhood. The pieces will stay there on those two trucks, and they're currently on duty. There are even coloring pages of the works of art available for parents to print. Kids can make their own masterpieces and send them to the streets division.
Tonight is the Wood County Master Gardeners May meeting. They'll meet at the Everett Rail Marshfield Public Library at 6 p.m. The presentation titled Herbs, Growing, Harvesting, Preserving, and Using is free and open to the public. The Wood County Master Gardeners business meeting will begin after the presentation. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you're looking for a good police procedural, check out Line of Duty. Season 1 starts with a police sergeant who refuses to be part of a cover-up and joins an anti-corruption police task force. Just started watching it, but I am digging it due to good writing and really solid British acting, including actors Lenny James, Kelly MacDonald, Martin Compston, and Stephen Graham. The BBC show is available to stream on several different platforms, including Hulu, Prime, and Peacock. The Cannes Film Festival gets the best of the best films every year, so it's no surprise that many films have received serious buzz post-festival. According to the Daily Beast, the best film to come out of this year's event is the comedy-drama Sentimental Value. The film stars the great Stellan Skarsgård and Elle Fanning and is being called a story about family memories and the healing powers of art. Sentimental Value is directed by Norwegian filmmaker Joachim Trier, and it's one to keep an eye on. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a shower or two possible this afternoon. We'll get to around 67 for a high today with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Scattered showers tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 50. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, showers 64 by Thursday. A little more sunshine with a high of 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Jackson Churio swung at the first pitch that he saw from the Boston Red Sox pitcher Garrett Crochet and knocked it out of the park, and that was the difference maker in the Brewers beating the Red Sox 3-2 yesterday. Starter Chad Patrick pitched 4 2/3 scoreless innings, giving up 3 hits, striking out 6. D.L. Hall is back off the 60-day injured list and did a little relief pitching upon his return to the roster. Game 2 is coming up this evening in the series with the Red Sox at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 6:05 on Civic Media stations in Hayward, Park Falls, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Richland Center. And it's a day game tomorrow. I believe coverage starts around 11:35 for a midday game there with the Sox. No, I'm sorry. Let me double check. Yes, 11:35 is the start tomorrow for that game with the Red Sox. However, if you'd also like to maybe win Brewers tickets to go see a game in the future, well, this is the place to be. On Fridays throughout the Brewers season, just be listening to one of your favorite Civic Media shows on Fridays, and we'll be giving out a keyword that you can text in through the Civic Media app for a chance to win a 4-pack of great Brewers tickets. Complete contest rules can be found at Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. To learn much more. All right, let's check in with Melissa Baldoff. She's in today. Dan Schaefer will join us tomorrow at this point. Melissa, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
It was full of AAU basketball for the most part, but it was a wonderful weekend. Got to enjoy some time outside and enjoy some lovely weather with family yesterday. So we had a great weekend.
Who's all playing AAU basketball?
Our 16-year-old boy is.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that keeps you busy.
Sure does, but it's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, do you do a bunch of the driving for it, or like going to practices and things like that, or is he doing that?
Well, yeah, blessedly, or maybe not. I guess it depends on how we look at it. It varies day to day. He got his license a month ago and is doing some of the driving to practice himself, which is nice. But it's always nerve wracking having a new driver on the road.
Yes, yes, it is. And
as you know,
but eventually you look back and go, "Oh my gosh, it was like Liberation Day," and not the Donald Trump kind—a true liberation from being, you know, the bus driver for everything all the time. Hey, before we get into climate stuff, we were talking in our last half hour about the phony war on waste, fraud, and abuse in things like Medicaid and nutritional programs and things like that. And we were talking about the work requirements that are imposed, which are nothing more than, you know, red tape and bureaucracy to deny people benefits. And you'd think that there would be better ways for our lawmakers to spend their time. But no, not only in Washington, D.C., but here in Madison. I'm looking at a new report from Baylor Spears over at the Wisconsin Examiner. Go to wisconsinexaminer.com. And the headline is, joining national efforts, Wisconsin Republicans support junk food bans. a pair of bills that would prevent low-income Wisconsinites from buying junk food and ban certain ingredients in school meals, taking inspiration from Robert Kennedy Jr.'s agenda. Representative Clint Moses, Republican of Menominee, is the lead author on both bills, and he says it's all about ensuring that the food that children and others are eating is healthy. The one bill would bar participants in SNAP, also known as Food Share, from purchasing soda and candy with their benefits. Now, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the nutritional value of soda and candy, but can we talk about the party that loves to say they're against big government until they're in a position to dictate what you do?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the hypocrisy here is just astonishing as always. I mean, I am, like many folks probably remember when Republicans just absolutely had a complete meltdown when First Lady Michelle Obama talked about making school lunches healthier and helping schools maybe have a community garden to get kids to eat some more vegetables. So the idea that any of these Republicans actually care about what kind of healthy foods kids are eating is ridiculous, because that's not the point here. If the point was keeping kids healthy, what they would do would be to expand Medicaid and have kids get vaccines and expand SNAP and WIC, because we know that so many kids are not getting the nutrition they need. Republicans in the state would support Governor Evers' proposal to make school lunch and breakfast free for all kids, because we know that that was something that was a really great pandemic era program that unfortunately ended during COVID. All kids were eligible to get free breakfast and lunch in school, and more kids were able to have a nutritious diet then, because, you know, we know, unfortunately, a lot of kids, the meals that they get at school are the only ones that they can rely on. And if they actually cared about what kids were getting in school and the health of kids and well-being of kids, those are the kinds of things they would be focusing on. This is just another way to police what poor people are doing, to shame people, and to divide people, really. This is to distract from other things and to say, hey, you people that are, you know, working class, middle class, instead of being mad at the billionaires that we want to give tax breaks to, you should be mad that people who are poor and have a little bit less than you might be able to give their kid a birthday cake and some Sprite. And I mean, that's really what this is. I mean, everybody, no matter whether they're working, whether they're poor, no matter how much money they make, you know, I'm certainly not saying everybody should eat junk food all the time, but everybody deserves to be able to have a soda or a birthday cake or a candy bar every once in a while, like if they want one. And whether you're poor or not shouldn't matter. This is not about actually anybody's health. This is about dividing people. And it's really pretty sick.
And again, the hypocrisy over, you know, reporting requirements like this, whereas they work so hard to not have reporting requirements for things like, you know, the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, which is just such a big corporate giveaway in the state budget, without needing to prove that you've created even a single job before you get this essentially corporate welfare from the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin. They can do these things if they wanted to. They just choose only to do it to the poor, to poor people instead.
Exactly.
And anybody else that, you know, they feel like controlling that particular day. All right, let's move over to climate matters for a bit here, where President Donald Trump signed an executive order back on Friday. The intent is to quadruple domestic production of nuclear power within the next 25 years, a goal that experts say the country is unlikely to reach. But to speed up the development of nuclear power, the orders grant the U.S. Energy Secretary the authority to approve some advanced reactor designs and projects, taking the authority away from, wait for it, the Independent Safety Agency, that has regulated the U.S. nuclear industry for 5 decades. So again, Melissa, this is not a debate about nuclear energy and whether it, which is a very valid debate, you know, the zero carbon aspect versus, you know, the nuclear meltdown thing. It's the way that they're going about doing it, saying, let's bypass the safety panel. How many more times do I have to feel like we're living a Hollywood blockbuster, you know, the disaster movie, everything that happens right before the disaster happens?
Right. I mean, it's both the disaster movie and everything that happens before the disaster movie. And it's also the show Veep on HBO, because it is full of just the most bumbling, inept losers you could pack into a room. I mean, we've already seen what the track record is for the Trump administration on regulations, on safety. And, you know, if the way they have operated airline travel is any indication, people should be incredibly concerned about this. You know, we know that they are always looking to take shortcuts, that when it comes to Donald Trump and how he makes decisions, you know, we've seen it in his business. We've seen it with how he operates. I don't want to say with how he governs, because I don't want to, you know, shame the word, but how he operates as president, you know, it is always about rewarding people that he thinks will benefit him and how he will be personally enriched. We know that safety is not going to be a concern. We know that, you know, integrity and, you know, doing right by workers is not going to be a concern. So, yeah, this is something that people should be aware of. They should be paying attention to, and they should have a lot of questions and have a lot of concerns about the risk here, because, like you said, the debate on, you know, whether we expand nuclear and how much is, you know, the right mix of, you know, that power generation, you know, that's definitely a valid debate. But as I think in this story you mentioned, I thought this was really nailed it. I couldn't say this any better. The man, Gregory Jachko, I don't know how you say his last name, so excuse me, sir, for mispronouncing your last name, but the man who led the NRC under President Obama said that Donald Trump's executive orders look like someone asked an AI chatbot, how do we make the nuclear industry worse in this country? And I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yes. Yeah, it does. And again, there's something else that we haven't talked about. We haven't talked about this for a long time. It's been something that was a hot topic for a while, and then it kind of went to the national back burner. But the fact of the matter is, if we ramp up nuclear energy production again, we're going to have to, again, have that discussion of what to do with nuclear waste, because we still haven't resolved how to store tens of thousands of tons of already existing hazardous nuclear waste. I couldn't even tell you, Melissa, the last time that came up in any kind of big public discussion, but right, that's still sitting out there as well.
Absolutely.
I got a feeling we're not going to hear any solution about that either anytime. Oh, actually, no, I take that back, and I say this tongue planted firmly in cheek, but you just know that if Donald Trump gets the chance, he's going to say something like, well, we're going to store the nuclear waste in all of these blue cities, you know, in Chicago and New York, and rather than, you know, a mountain in Nevada, because that might be a red state. And so he's going to look for some way to, again, I love the analogy of a disaster movie and Veep. I mean, it's the perfect mix of what we're dealing with right here. What we won't have as much time for here, and maybe it's for the best today, is that there's a Texas oil executive from Elon Musk's government, quote-unquote, efficiency team that has been given sweeping powers without Senate confirmation to overhaul the federal department that manages vast tracts of resource-rich public lands. But because he isn't up for Senate confirmation, he hasn't had to divest his energy investments, which include ties to Russia, or fill out an ethics commitment to break any ties with companies that pose a conflict of interest. Might we get into this next week? I doubt it. I think it's enough just to hear that that's exactly what's going on here and talk about it with Melissa Baldoff, as we always do. I'm Pat Kreitlow from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. It's Tuesday morning here across the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Be a water-ready family this summer and keep your loved ones safe around water. Join the family at the SWC YMCA and learn from professionals how to become a better version of yourself while providing swimming lessons for young ones. The SWC YMCA is offering a summer special. Pay for the summer up front, and they'll waive the new membership fee. Invest in yourself and your family and embark on your next summer adventure with confidence.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Playhouse Session 63. Yeah, I think so. Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, our head of production and sound, Seth Habhager.
Well, we have, you know, we do many things here on Director's Playhouse. We look at all the arts. But recently we got to talk to Nathan, another filmmaker who's won some awards. And thanks to Nathan, we got another person, a local filmmaker right here from Wisconsin Rapids that also won a recent award. So we're going to talk to him today.
We welcome to the WFHR stage actor, filmmaker, creative in Wisconsin's own Sawyer Wideman. Sawyer, good to have you with us.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Appreciate the time, man. And I just want to say right out the gate, I really am enjoying your story. What I've gotten to see, I'm going to be following you throughout. I was a young kid myself, falling in love with acting. And we're going to find out your origin story in seconds here. But I just want to make a guess that you are similar, that you fell in love with acting or creative or just entertaining at a young age. Let's get right into it, man. What is your origin story? Give us a little bit of your beginnings.
Yeah, I think from a young age, I was always playing outside with either my sister or my friends or neighbors. And creating these little games, and I think that's where I really fell in love with storytelling. I think it's very important to have that experience at such a young age. I think it helps shape how you see the world, and it really helped when I started falling in love with film even more, and seeing all these different ways you can tell a story and be creative and express yourself. Whether that's through the cinematography, the score, directing, acting, whatever it might be. For a very long time, I was definitely on a different path. I wanted to be a calculus professor, which is kind of totally on the other side of the spectrum. But then ninth grade geometry happened, and I did not like geometry. So I took a test one day, did not do well on the test, and I thought to myself, okay, this is not going to work out. What's the next thing I can do? And I went to bed that night, and I was like, you know, I really like movies. Maybe I want to direct or write one. And then I switched over in a course of 24 hours. I'm graduated from college already. I'm a year out. And I guess I'm a director and filmmaker of sorts.
You sure are. Bona fide, I think. There every kid plays pretend. Just some take it a little more serious than others. You know, I had a feeling. It's really cool to hear. And now, anywhere, if you were from anywhere, I would think you would have a very cool story. But certainly we're doing this show right here in Rapids, and we have a local tie to it with that. So I think it's not only that much more unique, but that much more noteworthy, because one of the things we like to do with this show, Sawyer, is certainly highlight and bring attention to locals and local creatives and, support their art, artists supporting artists. But the other side story, side quest of this show is encouraging other creatives out there to be the next Sawyer, to be the next this, to be able to do these things themselves. We are big believers that there can never be enough art. There can never be enough creatives out there. So I want to get into some other stuff with you a little bit later about that. But for now, just sticking with you right now, do you remember your first role?
Oh, gosh. I was active within the theater department at Lincoln High School, whether that was I did some acting, mainly crew tech stuff. I think my first role was for, they were doing the musical Mary Poppins. I was on the crew, and I was told to make some kites. So that was my main job throughout that, and it was so exciting just to even make something so small and just seeing that within the production. And that was just, I just think about that time a lot and how it was a great experience, and it really opened me up to the world of being an artist and being a creative.
Shout out to Lincoln High School, also a graduate of Lincoln myself. Any chance to shout that out, we will do it. Mm-hmm. That's really cool to know, and really interesting when you consider what you've done. And you're so early in your career here and everything, but what you've already accomplished, what you're talking about, you didn't go directly to the role or to the acting, but you talked about other parts of performing and what it takes to put on a production. Being behind the scenes, when I'm teaching or I'm talking to young actors or comedians or anything, the first thing I tell them is reps. There are no roles to turn down. Work as much as possible. It's how you get good at this. You get more comfortable with it. The very next thing I will suggest is work behind the scenes. Do props. Work the curtain. Whatever it might be, do as many different roles as you can backstage. It makes you that much stronger and that much better on stage. When it comes to filmmaking, I got to think that that's all times 10.
Yeah, it kind of is. At least from my experience, how I started, right away, if you know you want to be a director, you're going to get some light training of like, okay, this is every basic of how to make a film. This is how you set up a camera. This is how you start to work with actors, think about lighting, think about sound, stuff like that. But as I continued on, rather than just sticking straight with only directing classes or only writing classes, I took many courses to learn about all the smaller stuff, like lighting. That was one of my favorite classes from my sophomore year. Casting has become a really fun thing for me. I really enjoy working with actors and finding them, and then script supervising, continuity, that is incredibly important and so overlooked. And it's one of the most difficult jobs, but it's also so fun because you just notice all these small things that you wouldn't know before. So I think in order to make a film, you need to understand or at least have some experience in all other.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Stock futures are up after President Trump announced he was delaying EU tariffs until July. CBS's Willie James Inman.
The White House is going about this and saying that they want to give some breathing room for the negotiations to take place.
Dow futures up 513. A second suspect has surrendered in the kidnapping and torture of a Bitcoin millionaire. CBS New York's Christina Phan.
According to court documents, Wolf and his accomplice took the victim's electronics and passports, hid them, and threatened to kill the victim and his family unless he gave up his Bitcoin password on his laptop.
Investigators are looking into the cause of an explosion that injured 11 people on a boat off Fort Lauderdale, Florida. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is there.
Eight adult victims are listed in good condition, and those two children, two boys ages 5 and 7, are listed in fair condition.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.